Well, again, I just want to say welcome. I'm glad you guys are here this morning. And for those that are joining us online, we want to say we're really glad you're joining us too. And continued explanation of our going to just one time together. We realize it's going to be, there's going to be more people, right? And so we will still stay within the guidelines that we've been given. We don't want to lose the opportunity to be able to do this. And so, but if you're uncomfortable with more people in the room, we understand. And so we're continuing to do our online ministry, so that's always an option. And I know some travel on weekends, and I'm told that that's great because you still join us, which is a really blessing to us to know that you're taking time even in your travels. So we just wanted to make you aware of that. I want to make a statement. This is not loaded politically. I just want to say this as part of an illustration I'm going to begin my message with. How much I appreciate law enforcement officers. I truly do for people like me. And I'll explain why, because they put their lives on the line every day to keep our streets safe. And I have friends who are in law enforcement, and I've had friends in law enforcement. It is one of the most difficult careers you would ever be a part of. Let me tell you, they walk a tight line between justice and mercy. We talked about last week, we talked about mercy in my message. But when they show grace, you don't forget, right? Let me explain. We're talking about grace today. Mercy is one thing, grace is another. Now, before I get into my illustration, I want you to know I don't get stopped a lot. I think my wife gets stopped more than I do. Okay, so I'm joking. I'm going to get in trouble for that comment. But anyway, I use it as an example because it's something we can all relate to. I would think we can all relate to. But this was actually harmless. I was on Sheridan Drive, and I was taking a left onto the 290. It was a green arrow, green right. Okay, so you understand the scenario. They give you the arrow. I approached the light. The green arrow had just shut off, and I had already committed to going. That's my excuse. I had already committed to going, but the light stayed green, right? It's a green light. So I went. Not knowing that the police officer was sitting right there, okay? And I didn't cut anybody off. They were just starting to creep forward from oncoming traffic, and I slipped the green. I went. It was a green light. It was a green light. And I went, and whoop, and he pulled me over, and the policeman got out, and he approached my window, and I have my license. I know the drill, right? Get the license registration out. Everything's ready. Window down. Everything's good. And I said, he goes, do you know why I stopped you? And I said, frankly, sir, I have absolutely no idea why you stopped me. The light was green. He goes, I understand. Let me tell you, what took place in the conversation for the next 2 minutes, I will never forget. He basically said, I understand it was green. And he goes, and frankly, I'm not giving you a ticket. Mercy, because he could have, for failure to yield to oncoming traffic. I deserved it. Because I failed to yield, but he showed me mercy. He says, I'm not giving you a ticket. The guy was so nice. He said, but let me explain. He goes, let me tell you. And he went on to explain that it's the number one accident caused in Amherst of failing to yield to oncoming traffic. And he goes, no, you didn't do it wrong, but you probably shouldn't have. Here's grace. Mercy is letting me off. Grace is he kindly stood there and had a conversation with me to help me understand what had happened. Grace and mercy. See, grace and mercy go hand in hand. He could have showed mercy and I would have said, thank you. I still don't know why I got pulled over, right? I could have. But when grace is partnered with mercy, it's powerful. Mercy is showing forbearance to someone who has power over you. It's showing forbearance to someone we have power over, I should say. Grace is unmerited favor. In other words, grace is getting something you don't deserve. You see the difference? It's important that we know the difference. We're learning what it means to live with the character of Christ, and this is important for us to really grasp this idea of grace. See, it's just not about showing mercy by not judging other people. By living with the character of Jesus, it's not just about showing mercy by not judging people, but it's about showing grace. It's about showing love and kindness that Jesus has shown us. They go hand in hand, and it is powerful the way God can use us by simply showing mercy with grace. So now we have the opportunity to learn. We're going to unpack this, and we're going to learn together. So we're going to take time to pray right now. Always important that you take time to just kind of settle things with God right now, whether you're going to listen or not, whether you're going to do what he says. That's up to you. I can only present what God has put on my heart. So right now I'm going to ask you to go to God on your own. God, we come before you with empty hands. God, we're thankful for the grace that you showed us. God, as we look into your word, I pray that we will really appreciate the grace that you have shown us through the cross that will literally transform how we live our lives. And so, God, we have the opportunity to decide this morning. Decide whether or not we are going to listen. Whether we're going to listen with a desire to take action. So God, I pray that that will be our choice. I pray that, Lord, we will learn from your word. And that it will transform us to be gracious people in a world that is desperate for your love. And so, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be able to do this. We are blessed. And I pray that we will be glad that we took time to do this morning. And so we ask your Spirit to use your word in powerful ways to transform our hearts and lives. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I read a good book called Grace Awakening by Chuck Swindoll. It's an older book, but it's really a good book. And it's an interesting fact. I didn't know this. It's an interesting fact that in Jesus' teaching ministry, he never used the word grace. I thought that was really interesting. But you know what? You know, you can talk, right? Because talk is cheap. But one thing we know about Jesus is that he lived what he was teaching. So before he even talked, his life demonstrated what he was going to say. That's character. And what we're striving to do as we learn is to learn to have that same character that Jesus had so that without even talking, without even mentioning the word grace, people have already seen grace demonstrated in our life. See, grace is a key building block in the life of a Jesus follower. Why? Because it actually reflects the very nature of Jesus. It's the very nature of Jesus. I mean, to better understand grace, it's helpful to consider the Old Testament origin. And I'm going to talk through this from that perspective. There's a lot of elements of grace that we're not going to get into, but I just want to talk and maybe look at it from the Old Testament origin. And grace actually means to bend or to stoop down. So maybe an easy way to understand this would be the royal family. Okay, so the royal family, and I've seen this on TV. I've never been to England, and so never seen the palace, but the royal family is like untouchable, right? They're untouchable. They are the epitome of sophisticated society. They are the upper echelon of different classes that we would have, and the rest of us are commoners, okay? And when the queen might leave the palace to go into the public, they don't have to mingle with commoners. They don't have to get near them. They can do their motorcade and their bulletproof cars. They can keep their distance. In fact, they do keep their distance most of the time. But once in a while, you'll see the queen do what? She will approach a child and she will stoop down, or she'll lean over in her chair and she will either bless a child or talk to a child. Or that's what it means, guys. It's to stoop down. It's to bend down from your lofty position to be able to connect. And so that, as lame attempt as that is at trying to illustrate grace, listen, it does not compare to the incredible and ultimate example of Jesus Christ showing grace to us. As a Jesus follower, listen, it is crucial that we never lose sight of God's grace. See, God's grace isn't just powerful to redeem us. Like, guys, we're going to talk about that. God's grace isn't just powerful at the moment we give our heart and life to Jesus. God's grace is what made that possible. God's grace is for us every single day. And we should never forget how powerful God's grace is in our life. We should never forget where we come from. Just like sitting on the side of the road, deserving a ticket, guilty. And there was no way out apart from what? Apart from the cop showing me mercy and grace. Listen, we are desperate without God's grace. We are hopeless without God's grace. We are helpless without God's grace. Totally undeserving. Why? Because of our sin. And before we do this, before we begin to rationalize somehow we deserve God's grace, that doesn't make sense. It's like an oxymoron. Somehow we're entitled to God's grace. No, it is God's free gift to us by His choice. And sometimes we get a little full of ourselves and we even justify our sin knowing that God's going to show grace on us. And this goes back to, guys, listen, we got to understand the context of what God has done for us through the cross. God created us in His image. He created us in His image. And why that's important to bring that up is He created us to be able to make a choice. And please understand, there is no other part of His creation that can choose. Humans are the only part of God's creation that choose by their own will. That's because we're made in His image with the ability to choose Him. And God, in the garden with Adam and Eve, He gave them the ability to choose Him. And He said, all of this is a blessing to you, but don't touch that tree. They had a choice. And guess what they chose to do? We know. They chose to disobey. They chose to disobey. They chose to allow pride to convince and deceive them that they were more important than their God. And at the moment they disobeyed, sin entered into the world. And immediately when sin entered into the world, man was declared unrighteous. Their legal standing before God was unrighteous. And they began to do unrighteous things for generation after generation after generation. And here we are, apart from God's grace, we'll choose unrighteousness. We need God's grace. Man was declared unrighteous. His relationship with God was broken. Romans 3, 10 through 12 says this, and this is the condition of humanity apart from God's grace. There is none righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks God. Guys, understand something. Without God's grace, we will choose sin every single time. That is where we came from. No one understands. No one seeks God. All have turned aside together. They have become worthless. No one does good. Not one of us. Apart from God's grace, there is nothing we can do about it. Apart from God's grace, there's nothing we can do about it. Romans 3:20 says, for by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. Good works, all good works does is reveal that they don't work. They only reveal that we are imperfect and we are desperate for God's grace. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of God, got the glory of God. And as followers of Jesus, we should never forget where we came from, because that is the context by which we live every single day. We have to remember that is why we live by God's grace. And it does affect every day. Here's why, because Ephesians 2:1, we were dead in our sin. Apart from God's grace, we are lost, Luke 19:10. Apart from God's grace, we are destined to perish, Romans 3:16. We are going to experience God's wrath, John 3:36. We're blind. We can't see righteousness at all apart from God's grace, 2 Corinthians 4:3 and 4. We are strangers with no hope, Ephesians 2:12. We had nothing to offer God that was good, Philippians 3:8. We are enemies of God, Romans 5:10, because of sin. That is where we came from. And it is God's grace. It is God's grace that delivered us. Now get this. This is important for us to understand. Could God have just said, well, you know what? I'm not going to punish them. I'm not going to punish them for their sin. Here's the deal. God could not overlook our sin. And the reason why he could not overlook our sin is because then he would be guilty of endorsing our sin. He would have to support our sin if he overlooked it without consequence. It would violate his very character of righteousness and justice if he overlooked it. But here's the deal. He couldn't give us what we deserved, or else he would have to destroy every single one of us. So he can't overlook it, but he doesn't want to destroy us. So what does he do? Amazing. By his loving kindness and grace, he made a way where he could save the sinner but punish the sin. Isn't that amazing? Wake up. Isn't that amazing? That is God's grace. He gave us Jesus. He sent Jesus from his holy place of glory and honor because he's perfect and righteous. He sent him here to this messed up, sin-cursed world. Why did he do that? So that he could deal with our sin problem. Did he have to do that? No. He chose to do it. Guys, listen to me this morning. He chose to send Jesus for you. For me. It's grace. Guys, listen, that should transform us. That should change how we live every single day. God's grace. God of the universe stooped down to us so that we could have a personal relationship with him. Isn't that amazing? And that's how we need to view grace. And Philippians 2:7 says, but Jesus emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And as a result of God's grace, as a result of Jesus dying on the cross and being raised from the grave, here's the deal. We are now declared righteous. Not because of anything we've done, it's because of Jesus. Just listen. That is grace. We are justified by his grace, Romans 3:24. We're justified by his grace as a gift, a free gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And here's what happens. We are no longer dead. We're alive. We are no longer lost. God found us. We are spared from God's wrath because Jesus took God's wrath on himself for us. We are no longer blind. We can see God now. Isn't that amazing? We're no longer strangers. We're God's family. Guys, we went from stranger to family because of God's grace. We are no longer unrighteous. God now accepts us as righteous. We are no longer his enemy. We are reconciled and redeemed. That is grace. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for by grace we have been saved through faith. It is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not of results, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And let me tell you something. I'll admit that if it were by works, I would take credit for it, because that's just the nature of my prideful heart. We all would, wouldn't we? We would take credit for it, but we can't take credit for something that was a gift from God. His amazing grace. And that grace, guys, listen, no matter where you've been in your life, no matter where you're at in your life, when you respond to God's grace by accepting Jesus, you get a new beginning. No matter where you've been, a new beginning. Every day, because of God's grace, is a new beginning. Now, what I love about the Scripture, we've been taught Bible stories our whole life. We've been taught Bible stories, right? If you've grown up in the church, in a lot of different churches, you just learn all of these Bible stories of encounters that Jesus had with people. And today we're going to look at one that's very familiar, and I'm going to unfold it. And before you shut me off, because it's so familiar to you, I'm going to look at it maybe from a perspective that maybe you've never looked at it from before in the area of God's grace. Luke 19, verses 1 through 10, we're going to look at Jesus' encounter with Zacchaeus. And I'm going to call him Zac, just because I like doing that. All right? And we have a Zac here this morning, and I like to call him Zacchaeus. All right? So anyway, that's free. Okay, let's read Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector who was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on the account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran out ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was able to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He's gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone in anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek to save the lost. Now, what does grace look like as it's demonstrated through our life? Okay, because just saying we're going to be gracious people is one thing, but doing it is another. Well, we can see Christ's encounter with Zac on this. We're going to look at four things that we can do to show grace. Four things we can do to grow in showing grace. The first thing is show grace as you go. Show grace as you go. And this is based on the truth that grace is what we are. It's not just what we do. Grace is a defining characteristic of a Jesus follower. It's not just something we do as an outreach program at church or something we do when we have time. Grace goes with us everywhere we go. Jesus was passing through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. His destination was Jerusalem to fulfill the divine plan of redemption through the cross, and he was working his way to Jerusalem, and on his way, he went through Jericho. But understand, God's grace never takes time off. Everywhere Jesus went, he was on a mission to demonstrate his grace. He had no business in Jericho. Now, we can understand he had divine business. We understand that because that's what happened. But grace is always in business. Guys, listen to me. And this speaks to consistency in showing grace in our life. Grace is always in business because it is a defining characteristic of a Jesus follower. Grace never takes time off. At home, at work, in your neighborhood, when we play, at the store, everywhere. Grace should never take time off. The second thing we see is this. Show grace to everyone. Show grace to everyone, verses 2 through 4. Grace shows no partiality. And you say, well, no kidding. No, now wait a minute, because if we're honest, we're good at showing grace to people that deserve it. And we're not good at showing grace to people that don't, which defies the very definition of grace. But we all do it. We all do it. It's pretty obvious that the people heard Jesus had come into town. I mean, everywhere Jesus went, he drew a crowd, and we see the crowd was following Christ, now normally what we would do, if you're familiar with the story of Zacchaeus, we see that he struggled to get close to Jesus. He wanted to meet Jesus. I don't know if he ever expected to meet him, but he at least wanted to see him. And the scripture tells us right here that it's because he was short, he couldn't actually get close to Jesus. But, and again, I'm not challenging scripture. I'm just saying, I think that one thing I've learned about children is because they're small, man, they can weasel their way through crowds, right? They're down here. They can weasel their way through crowds. And yeah, it was because he's short, he couldn't see over the crowd. He could have made his way through the crowd to get to the front. But I think it's not unreasonable to assume that, could it possibly be that he couldn't get to front of the crowd to see or meet Jesus because he was an outcast in his community? Because we do see he was an outcast. He was the lowest of the low, guys. Tax collectors were considered the enemy of the community. And here's why. Because they were thieves. They were the lowest of the low. And even worse for Zacchaeus was that he was a Jew, which means he was a betrayer of the Jewish people in order to collect taxes for Rome. So this is getting worse, right? And so we see, we can speculate. Scholars always speculate kind of based on historical text of what this could have looked like. But collectors were notorious thieves, and here's why. Rome would say, I want this much money, and Rome would turn a blind eye when the tax collectors would collect this much money. They allowed them to get rich by collecting more than Rome asked for, and it was this part where they would abuse it, and they would become filthy rich, yet holding the power to collect taxes over all the people. So understand, the chief tax collector was very powerful and was very rich. But he did it at the abuse of people, and they hated him for it. They rejected him for it. So imagine, he's wanting to see Jesus, and he's sitting in the crowd trying to work through, and every time he tried to squeeze into a crack in the crowd, they'd push him out of the way. I can imagine that taking place. That they were rejecting him, they were pushing him. They wouldn't allow him to get through the crowd because of who he was. Listen, there are some people in our life that are easy to show grace to. I mean, if you have children, some of your children are easy to show grace to, some of them are not. And we tend to be partial with how we distribute grace. Some people are just good people that just have a brain hiccup and they just don't make a good choice and you're just like, oh, it's okay. Here, let me do it anyway, right? And then there are those that make decisions continually that are wrong. They're the ones that are hard to show grace to. But here's the deal. Grace shows no partiality. Grace shows kindness and love to everyone. Listen, especially the outcast. Especially the outcast. Jesus actually demonstrated this. Zach couldn't find the front of the crowd. He couldn't get there, so what's he do? He runs out ahead of the crowd. He tries to get the front row, like at a parade, right? You try and get that. You're sitting there at 9 o'clock, and the parade's not till 4, right? You just park your lawn. So you can imagine, he parked his lawn chair on the side of the road, and he's waiting, but still, the crowd was there. He couldn't, so he ended up climbing a tree. And that brings us to our next point. Show grace in a personal way, verses 5 and 6. We need to show grace in a personal way, as Jesus did. Grace is best served when it's personal. Grace is best served when it's personal. As Christ was passing by Zach, who was up in a tree at this point, this is crazy to me. Out of all the people that were there, the crowds, people everywhere, right? He passes Zach, who's up in a tree, and he looks right at him. I'm going to make it really awkward for you guys. I'm going to look right at you. Don't look at me. That's fine. That's it. Right? Right. Eye contact is right. It's just something unique about it. And Christ looked right at him. But he just didn't look at him. He talked to him. Of all the people, he looked and he talked at Zach. Personal. Very personal. Grace is best served in a personal way. I mean, Zach was just hoping to see Christ. But to actually have a personal encounter with Christ? Are you kidding? That's crazy. But Christ made it personal. Christ made it personal in spite of who he was. Listen, our preference would to be to keep our distance from those who are difficult. Guilty. The people that challenge me and I struggle to show grace to, I just try and stay away from them. It just makes it easier. Right? That way it eliminates the risk. Just don't talk to them. Don't get personal, because if you don't get personal with them, then you don't have to be perfect at showing grace. We do it. We choose and pick who we're going to get close to based on, are they difficult or are they easy to be around? Well, Zacchaeus was hard to be around. Imagine he had no friends, and yet Jesus chose to befriend him, but it required grace. Grace isn't easy. So let's just make sure we understand that here this morning. Grace is not easy. It defies, guys, listen, it defies our fleshly nature of selfishness and self-centeredness. Grace is counter to what we were before we knew Jesus. But when Jesus comes into our life by God's grace, it should change who we are. Grace should be something we no longer look at as something we pick and choose. Grace is something we live with all the time to all people. It's hard. Amen? All right. It's hard. We must engage anyway. Grace needs a face. Grace needs a face. We must engage so that grace can be responded to in a way where people experience the grace of God personally. And he uses his people, Jesus' followers, to demonstrate it. You must engage in a personal way so that they can engage God in a personal way. When Jesus engaged, in verse 6, Zach responded to Christ's grace. He responded to it, guys. We clearly see that Zach responded to Jesus' display of amazing love and kindness, and we see that he gives his life to Jesus, and he accepts Jesus joyfully into his home, and we don't have a lot of detail on the conversation that took place, but he clearly gave his heart and life to Jesus. And he found exactly what he was looking for because of God's grace demonstrated. When grace comes with a face, it's tough for someone to ignore it. When it's personal, it's powerful. And it gives greater opportunity for a response. And then last, the fourth way to grow in showing grace, show grace with purpose. Last week we said mercy always has a purpose. Grace always has a purpose. Grace always has a purpose. Christ walks off from the crowd with Zacchaeus, and the religious leaders had a cow. They could not believe that Jesus was hanging out with sinners. See, because that's what grace does. And here Jesus went to his house. And we see he gave his life to Jesus. See, Christ was on mission, and he wasn't going to let some critical, divisive religious leaders get in the way of what his purpose was. And that was what? To seek and save the lost, verse 10. That was the mission of why Christ showed grace, to seek and save the lost. That was his purpose for doing it right there at the end in verse 10. Just like mercy, grace has a divine purpose and has a purpose that for that family member who they're difficult, but they need Jesus. For that coworker, that friend, that neighbor that nobody else really likes or nobody else can get along with. See, grace has a purpose, and that is so that they see grace and they have the opportunity to respond to it and experience the grace. Guys, listen. Showing grace is powerful as a Jesus follower. We got to remember, it's not our grace. It's God's grace that is powerful. It's not our grace. And what we see here is that God promises to give us all the grace we need to demonstrate His grace. Like our source of grace is from God. So we don't generate grace on our own. We don't do that. To have the kind of grace that transforms lives is going to come from God. And He tells us in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, He says this, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more," Paul says, "gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weakness, insults, hardship, persecution, calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Guys, listen, we're not good at this grace thing. I'll be the first to admit, I am not good at this grace thing. But I do know my Savior is. And when I live with His character, Jesus will transform lives through a simple demonstration of grace in my life. Weakness isn't bad. I kind of tend to think weakness is, but that's just my choleric temperament. Weakness isn't bad. Why? Because that's where God's grace is most profound. When His grace is demonstrated through my messed up life. That is when grace is most profound. So let's grow in grace. Let's show God's grace. And let's pray, guys. Let's pray believing that our neighbor, our coworker, our friend, our teammate, our family member, that they will have their own story of personal grace. And God wants to use us to do it. Let's live by grace. Let's show grace as we go to everyone in a personal way, always on mission. Let's do this. Let's pray. So God, we thank You. God, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for our examples we can grow from in watching Jesus' life. And no, we're not Jesus and we will never be Jesus, but Lord, we can take on the character of Jesus, especially in the areas of grace and mercy and love. God, I pray that we will, as Jesus followers, commit to living with the character of Jesus, realizing that it is not us who has great influence, but it's You who has great influence through a life yielded. So God, we need You. We desperately need You. So we claim the promise of Your sufficient grace to help us as we go now. That people will see You through us as we show grace. We trust You for this. We pray believing. And God, this week, God, I pray that this week, because we're faithful to show grace, will be the week that our friend comes to know You. That our family member comes to know You. That our coworker comes to trust You. That our teammate, that our neighbor, that this be the week they respond to Your grace and trust You. And so may we be diligent in showing that grace that You have graciously given to us. So I can't wait to see how You're going to do this through us. We just thank You and praise You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. want you to know we're praying for you guys. Our leaders are praying for you every day. And pray that you have a great week of showing grace. Have a good week.